Hello, beautiful humans. Welcome back to The Shani Show. We have an awesome interview today with the one and only Jennifer Cohen. She's a best-selling author. She's really just a rock star, absolutely incredible. She is a podcast host as well. Her podcast is bomb. It's called Habits and Hustle. And she has like really high achieving, high efficiency, if you will, like high productivity individuals come on the show. And they're all bomb. She even had Clarissa Shields go on, which I just thought was so cool. She's had Amanda Knox on. We talk about that on this episode a bit. She's had, Adrian Grenier. How do you pronounce his name? Grenier? You know that one? Entourage Man. I love him. He was cool. That was a great episode. She's had a lot of people. Tom Bilyeu. I mean, she's done the circuits of some of the best that you can have on a show and then some. So I definitely recommend checking out her podcast. Also check out her books. No Gym Required. That was her first one. That was in 2009. And she's had a two books released since then as well. I believe Badass Body Goals. Yeah, that's the third one. That was a great book as well. So I definitely recommend checking out those. You can find them all over. You can find her information on her website, jennifercohen.com. You can also find her on socials. I want to spell it out for you guys. It's at The Real Jen Cohen. And that's Jen with one N. Ooh. And if you're not Jewish, Cohen is K-O-H-E-N. Although I guess I feel like there's a lot of Cohens out there now. I mean, are there? Damn. Something to ponder. Do secular people know Cohen? Like, is that a common last name that you guys would think of? I'm actually really curious about that. Please drop that in the comments. Anyways, today's interview was just so much fun. I had a blast with her, and I think you guys are really going to enjoy it. So tune in. Let me know what you think.
This is so cute. I love that you're doing this. I'm so proud of you.
Thank you.
You would think I was your like mom.
I mean, I think, you know, it's something to be proud of. Like, this is a lot of work. It's no kidding. Crazy.
People don't understand actually. Are we going?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, people don't understand how much work it is. Everyone's like, oh yeah, I want to start a podcast. I'm like, yeah, good luck. Yeah, good luck to you.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's like, besides like the sound, the technical, to get to book people, it's a whole thing.
Okay, who books your podcast? Because your guests are incredible.
Mm, thank you so much. I mean, listen, it's relationships, right? Like I think that's what it is. And it's, you know, you leverage and, you know, you leverage one off of to get to another one. I mean, it's that. And also it's momentum, right? So I think once you get some really good guests, it's easier to get more good guests, right? So you start with one, you know.
Snowball effect.
Snowball effect, exactly.
Yeah, for sure. I've actually been so pleasantly pleased with the guests that I've been able to get on the show. I feel like everybody that I brought on has just been awesome.
Oh, good.
Yeah, yeah. And, when I started the Saniac podcast, it was so hard because it was reality TV based. And it's just, oh, God, reaching out to all these, like, influencer-y people.
Yeah.
But now it is what you're talking about. I'm doing a lot in person, just relationships and sort of leveraging one to get to the next. And obviously, I had Gary Vee, so.
I know. You're, like, thrilled about that. So, first of all, exactly. Number one, I think doing things in person is always better because you have a better connection. Right. You can make that rapport so necessary, in my opinion, to really, really get the best conversation out of people.
Mm.
When you do it virtually, it feels kind of, it feels stretched. It feels kind of, it doesn't feel as authentic, right? Because you're like on a computer, you're like, hey, hi, and then we're starting. And
you never know when to interject or if it's like if someone's frozen or if they're just staring for too long.
That's what happens. It's like the frozen, the interjection, and also you kind of talk over each other because there's sometimes like a 2 second lapse.
Mm.
That's what I find. I use Squadcast. I don't know what you would use if you do that.
I use Zoom.
Oh, yeah. I don't use Zoom.
I much prefer Zoom just because I think it's reliable, although the quality is probably not as great as some of the other more podcast-oriented softwares. But yeah, I mean, it's a tricky situation. But you used to podcast treadmilling, which I think is freaking hilarious.
I loved it. First of all, I'm
such a good theme.
Don't think for a second that I'm not going back to that.
Are you going to go back to the treadmill?
Yes. First of all, okay. I love those treadmills. I don't love to be sedentary for too long. Mm. And for me, when I do my podcast, sometimes I do 2, 3, 4 in a row, which is a lot of sitting down. And I don't like that. And I feel like why not? You can kill two birds with one stone and you can get your, you can keep your body moving and still have a conversation with somebody. But also it helps you cognitively. Like, the cognitive part of when you walk, it gets your brain thinking more creatively And you kind of forget what you're even doing a podcast sometimes because you're concentrating on like,
just walking.
On walking,
yeah,
right.
Yeah.
The reason why I stopped was twofold. Number one, after COVID or with, the whole thing.
Pandemic.
Transitioning. People didn't want it because it's sweat sometimes. Not because you're like walking super fast, but like still.
Yeah.
People want it.
Also, the treadmills are, they're facing each other, right?
Yeah, they're facing each other. So there's that. And then also, to be honest, I have like kind of like ankle issues a bit. So like a lot, too much walking.
Yeah,
just a little bit. But I am going to go back, I hope, to that.
That's it's such a fun theme. And it's true because you get loosened up when you're walking, right? You start feeling the air and then endorphins and you're just...
Not the air because you're indoors. But you feel, but you kind of... I find what happens is it's a great icebreaker too, right? Because a lot of times what happens...
That's true.
A few very funny things have happened, right? So... Sometimes when people come, they come in their gym clothes, right? Because they're like, we're going to be on the treadmill. So it's right away, it's like a more fun type of, we're doing an activity. But then sometimes what happens is people, it gets really hot in there. And so like it becomes like an oven.
Like way too sweaty and steamy.
It's a hot 8 yoga class in there. And like some people get so sweaty and like they become so exhausted that like the whole thing that happens is hilarious. So there's that. And the room gets just... unbelievable. So all the people in the room sitting there, oh my God.
Do the camera lenses get moist and steamy?
No,
that
no,
would
no.
be crazy.
No, but the problem is you can't have the air conditioning going with...
Because the sound.
The sound.
Right.
So it's like, it's really funny. So you get people really, like all their defenses, like all their defenses come down because they're like hot, sweaty, annoyed.
They're just trying to breathe.
Yeah, they're trying to breathe. They're trying to stay alive, basically.
I wonder if you could do that outside. I mean, obviously you have the outside noise, but like if you found a nice trail and you could do a cool sort of walking show.
I guess you can. It's just that becomes much more of a technical nightmare. I don't have the budget to have more than like one person.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't have like the budget for like a staff
a
of,
team,
of
right.
30, you know, to make sure the buffers and the sound guys and the, I, you know, like the fact that I even have two treadmills at my access is good enough, right?
God, the treadmills. Yeah, that's great. I don't know if I would do well with that because I get very... dry mouth and also just kind of exhausted. And I find it hard to talk when I'm doing a ton of physical act. Like I can talk shit, you know, if I'm like rolling jujitsu or whatever, but like what that's fine. But I can't have a long, meaningful conversation while I'm engaging in some sort of physical activity.
True.
And then I would be dead by like half hour. I'd be like, yeah, you know, I mean, should we sit?
Well, it's funny you say that, Phil, but I think that's when people's defenses come down, right? Because they're vulnerable at that moment. So you can get a lot of good information from someone. But I will say, we don't walk at like, we're not sprinting on that thing.
We're walking
you know, very, very slow.
What's the number for reference for people?
Like a 2.5.
Okay.
But you know, it's really...
2.5 over a long period is...
Exactly. So what I find interesting too, you can see a lot about people's personality, right? Like who's competitive, who's not. Like sometimes I'm like doing a 2.5 or 2.6 and then the other person's like, what are you doing? And I'm like, I don't know, I'm at a 2.7. They're like, oh, I can do a 2.7 or 2.8, you know? And it becomes its whole competitive thing, which is
that's
fun.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Also, I do feel like you see a part of the personality when somebody is exhausted or not in a good physical state, you can see their attitude, right? Do they have a good attitude? Are they,
totally.
Can they handle shit? Do they just crumble instantly when they're not in the mood?
It's 100% true. There's been a few of the podcasts you were saying earlier and I want to interrupt you. You're like, oh, every guest you've had has been so fantastic. You're very lucky. We should all be so lucky.
So far. I mean, it's early days. It's early days.
Early days. There's been like, I think about 25% of podcasts I even haven't aired that are old.
Oh, wow, really?
Yeah, because they weren't, you know, they weren't up to snuff. And some of them have been on the treadmill because people are saying shit that I'm like, I don't know if I could say that. Or they're just not very interesting. But it's very interesting.
Yeah, speaking of really interesting, your Keanu Reeves story gets me every time.
Oh my gosh.
Like, I just think it's so epic.
Thank you.
I mean, it's such an iconic story.
Thank
we don't have to rehash it. For people who haven't heard it, go listen to Jennifer's TED Talk. But I haven't heard you discuss like a follow-up to it. Did you guys ever keep in touch? Did anything ever transpire from that? Have you had him on your show?
All great questions. Okay, so let me start with this. Yes, I did follow up. He actually gave me his phone number. And I went to LA maybe a year later And I called him, and he gave me a phone number that was just like an answering machine or like a, I don't know what it was. It was like, God knows, 20, so many years ago. And I left a message on a voicemail and where I was staying at the hotel. He actually called back and left a message, but I wasn't there. And then that was like the end of it. But I did reach out actually quite recently, maybe 9 months ago, like after the TED Talk. Mm. To his manager and said, listen, this is the TED Talk I did and I would love to have him on my show. And she didn't know the story, obviously. And then she watched the TED Talk. She's like, oh my God, this is like a great story. This is amazing. And he was filming a movie in Germany and Berlin. And she's like, when his schedule, like he's super busy now, but stay in touch. And so I kind of have been staying in touch and it hasn't happened yet, but I'm putting good vibes out there. I think I'm going to get it. I don't want to have that negative, oh, I'm not going to get him. No, I am going to get him.
Yes.
And I want to show him 25 years later, because what that did for me, of course, I paid it forward, right? So when people ask me for assistance or help.
Yeah, look at you on my show.
Right? Look at you. Yeah. Listen, this is, I'm more than happy to be here. You're crushing. But when people ask me for help or any type of information session or whatever, I'm always very happy to put it out there and help, because that was done for me, right?
Yeah. So. I love that. I mean, that has to come full circle. That would just be the best episode.
Oh, gosh.
My God. And, you know, I don't think you can sacrifice the in-person in that. Like, you guys have to do that in person. There's no way that can be as, like, you have to wait to make that right, you know?
Absolutely. And I'm glad that you just brought that up, because I realized I have not followed up in a while, like in months. And I have to make it a point to put it in my calendar that, like, until I be bold, right? Until I get that yes, I'm going to keep on trying over and over again.
Oh, absolutely. Oh my God. Yeah. I can't wait for that to happen. I think it will. You know,
I think so.
He's great. Somebody that I had on the show, Maude Garrett, a few episodes ago, she's actually interviewed him a bunch of times in the junket circuits for the movies and stuff. Right. And they have the best chemistry.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, some of the best interviews of him I've seen. I should send you some of the clips, because they're just so great. Yeah. And so I know, you know, I feel like he would make a really good podcast guest, just from like those little clips snippets that I've seen. Yeah. I feel like he really would.
Maybe you can ask Ma to help, like, hook me up a little bit, because
I'll message her and I'll see if she, I don't know if she will have any contacts to her. I mean, she might, who knows? Let me find out.
This is how it's done. Like I was saying, how do you get great people? The first thing you asked me was, how do I get such great people? I'm always asking, and don't ever miss that opportunity. So, like, you never know who knows who, and who knows what. So you leverage who you know. You, like, use your connections, because it's never typically the person right in front of you, but it could be like four people down the road. But if you don't put that out there, put that energy out there, ask the question, then the answer will always be no.
That's, I mean, spot on, goes in line with your brand.
Right.
That's literally how I got Gary Vee. You know, he posted that tweet looking for shows to go on, and I just
I have no idea what you're talking
about. So this story is crazy. He posted a tweet like looking for 5 shows/podcasts to go on. What should I do to promote Vee Friends or whatever? So I sent that link to everybody that I knew on Twitter and had them tag Shawnee Show and my name. And he actually follows Nicole Benham, who's my best friend that I obviously sent the tweet to first. And so he saw that one, and I sent that reply to people to engage with it and bump it up, and like, yeah. And then that's
no kidding.
And then
really?
He replied, set it up in all caps.
I love that.
Or maybe
story.
It was in all caps in my head, to be honest.
It doesn't matter. I mean, that's great. That's a great get. I mean, he's very, very popular, as everyone knows. Yeah. So, like, to have a new show like you do, and then have someone like that who has such a huge following and everybody knows him, that's a great place to, like, with that, you can then use that guest to leverage and to capitalize and then get other guests.
It instantly gives the show a lot more credibility. Yeah. And, you know, I was scared to go after big guests at first, but then once I tackled that, yes, it gave me leverage, but it also gave me this weird new sense of confidence that, I mean, I didn't even think I could grow in confidence before, but I did. I really did. And I was like, oh, I need to just go out and ask these people who I think I should wait to ask because I want to have, like, experience or whatever on the Shawnee Show. You know, I just need to ask them now. What's the deal? You know, let's go.
100%. What are you waiting for?
Exactly.
You know, I got my first guest was Dennis Rodman. Do you know who he is?
Yeah. Of course I do. That's okay. Hilarious.
Hilarious.
He's doing NFT stuff now.
Of course he is. I mean, how did you know?
Because my friend was the one who hosted his Twitter space.
Oh, are you serious?
Yeah.
That is hilarious. Yeah. So yeah, that, and so what I did was I went to the Century City Mall actually, and I did a deal with them. And I said, if I'm going to start my podcast, I partnered with Century City Mall. And I made it like a live show.
Oh.
And I said, Dennis Rodman's going to be in your mall.
I was wondering where that was filmed because I saw a clip of that, but I didn't know.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then we like invited all this media because, you know, he doesn't do a ton of press at all.
Yeah.
So to me, that was like a big get, you know, to have him, considering I've never done this before. And yeah, and that was my first guest. And from that, I was able to get other athletes and other people.
When was that? How long ago did you start that?
Years ago. I would say like 3 years ago, four, maybe three and a half.
Were you always partnered with Habit Nest?
Yeah.
And okay, so they were in on the Dennis Rodman episode.
Well, yeah. But I mean, like what our relationship really is with Habit Nest is like, I worked out with Habit Nest is actually a complete separate business.
Yeah.
And they do like these journals and they're just like really nice guys. And I did like a book with them, I think 2 years prior, and I stayed in touch with them and I really liked them. And I didn't want to deal with all the production elements, like the technical stuff and all that, because I knew that was my stop was going to be in my start. Like I knew that was going to hold me back from actually doing what I like to do, what I'm good at. And it would never happen. Like the podcast would never, ever happen because I was bogged down with this overwhelming thing. Like I can't do that part. Yeah. So I went to them. I said, you guys, if you guys want to like take care of all this stuff for me, I will do all the front end stuff. I'll take care of all the guests. I'll take care of all the PR. I'll take care of all the everything. But you need to help me coordinate all the technical stuff. And they were like, all right. And so that's how we became partners. It was like a very strange thing. I don't even, could I have done it by myself? Of course. I could have hired somebody.
You could have just hired someone.
Yeah, I could have just hired someone. I don't know why I never really did that. I just, because I was always talking with them, I became quite close with one of the guys named Amir, who I just really liked. And that's how that happened. But actually, who my partner is really Entrepreneur Magazine. That's really my partner.
Oh.
We're on their network. And they do all my ad sales for us and they promote it for me and you know.
What does it feel like to do a podcast without alkaline water on the table?
It feels weird.
Is it visually off?
It's just off, right? Yeah, I don't know. I should have brought my BLK water. I don't know. I don't like this other white
regular
clear,
water.
Yeah,
white unbranded clean, yes. water.
Unbranded.
This is making us no money.
It's very uncomfortable. it's making me really uncomfortable, actually. Next time.
So you're on the Entrepreneurs Network, and they're just a big podcast network, or are they also?
No, they're just a big entrepreneur platform. They have a big magazine. They have a big social media footprint.
And then they have a podcast wing kind of.
They have some podcasts. And it's really kind of a very loose partnership. Mm-hmm. Basically, like they help sell ad space and they promote my podcast for me on their, like, so when I do a podcast, I give them a teaser. They put it on LinkedIn. They put it on Twitter, on Instagram.
I connected with you. I requested you on LinkedIn. I just went through a whole LinkedIn
because I've never marathon. On there. I don't even know how to use it properly.
I've been really trying because apparently it's actually a great place.
Oh, I know. I just heard this.
Yes. So, everyone keeps telling me they're like, you need to visit LinkedIn.
Everyone keeps on telling me too, especially for what I do for a living.
Yes, that's why. Because it's for sponsorships, for paid speaking gigs, for all of this stuff, apparently LinkedIn is the spot.
Oh, it is. But can I tell you something? This is exactly my point. Mm. This is where I am very weak. Yeah. Mm. I don't know how to start with it. Like I have like a profile up. Mm-hmm. It's wrong. Like all the experience on there, it's like from like 104 years ago. It's not even accurate.
You're not a day older 21.
Exactly. I just turned 22, actually.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday to me. Yes. Thank you very much.
Wow.
Thank you. It's like information that I did like literally 18 years ago and not accurate. And I always forget to check it. I don't know how to properly interact with it. I don't know if I get messages. Whenever I do check it, The only messages I ever get are like ads, like for things.
Oh, I get so many like podcast ads where it's like join our da 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 da, and I'm like, oh, leave me alone. I can't. I'm not here for this. But I mean, I've been using it the last few weeks. I've been trying to figure it out, and I've been posting. I have my social media I use later, and it has LinkedIn as one of the options. So I post all my podcast episodes to there too, and I've been doing that. Which I think has been, like, I think eventually it'll pay off. I'm using it mostly to just find sponsors and stuff.
That's a really good idea. I didn't even know. Can you give me all these tips later? These tips and tricks?
Yeah, tips and tricks.
Yeah, because I don't post anything on LinkedIn except a couple. I think I posted, like, a couple of Forbes articles on me, or, like, the Jewish Journal.
Turn your mic a little more towards you. Yeah, nice. But do you post all your own stuff? All your own Instagram? Oh, you do all that?
Uh-huh.
It's a lot of work.
Yeah, I don't know how to, this is my problem.
Fucking hell, yeah.
So this is the problem in life, right? Like the busier you are, the more help you need, but then you don't have the time to find the help. So then you get busier and busier. Yeah. And so it becomes like this like vicious cycle.
And you have less and less time to find the help.
I have less and less time. Like I need to find like a marketing, I'm looking for a staff of three.
Yeah.
And I've been looking for these people for 2 years, going on three, and yet like I don't have the time to properly look for people. I can't even write like a proper job description because I'm too busy.
Do you want them all to be local in LA?
I mean, honestly, at this point, I'm just happy to have somebody who's like competent.
On it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we're announcing it to the Shawnee Show. A lot of my audience is younger. Maybe they have.
Good. What's your demographic?
Honestly, it's pretty wide. It's crazy. I'm like 50-50 split male, female, which is insane.
Really?
Yeah. It's like, I think it's 50 point something percent male, 49 point something percent female. And then age range is anywhere from like 18 to 55.
What?
But I do have 65 plusers.
Are you serious? I didn't even know those people even listen to podcasts.
Yeah, there's like, it's, when I was checking the YouTube stats and stuff, all my pages actually have very similar demographics, like, which is really weird. Except my TikTok, I don't know how to use the insights on there yet. I haven't figured that out.
Yeah, you haven't?
I'm not really What's a TikToker. Going on? Like, I just don't. That app pisses me off because I post good content on there and nothing ever hits. And I'm like, screw you.
It's very random what hits.
Like, it's so random. It's like going into the lottery.
It's very random. Like, things that you think would be, that would really kind of track well. Do zip. Yeah. And then like this, you could stare into the camera and just like, you know, raise your eyebrows and it gets like 20 million views.
Literally.
It's like so ridiculous.
Literally.
I know.
But I mean, once I actually get something that starts generating some sort of view count, I'll probably, you know, figure out the analytics on there, but I just haven't really dove deep. But I can't believe you do all of that. So hopefully we find someone for you.
I do. I mean, I have someone who helps me with the TikTok because I don't even know like even how to turn on TikTok.
Oh, that's good.
So, but all, I mean, this, what she does is she just takes clips of all the stuff I've done and she just like, you know, and I've had a few things go viral, which I got lucky, I guess, but then I'm stalled. So it's like one of those, I don't even know how, it's, like I said, it's just like, it's all very random to me.
It's
you know?
Such a hit or miss business, social media.
It is such a, and also what is such a hit or miss. And the other problem is it's harder and harder to catch that algorithm as things become more popular. So on TikTok, things that like, that would probably never go viral today went viral because there wasn't the amount of people that there are now.
Slim.
Right.
Yeah.
Now you have everybody and their dog and their mom and their granny on there.
Literally,
like, you know, it was a big joke, remember, like back when, because if you saw a mom on TikTok, it was so weird.
Yeah.
And now you have like every mom is on there and you have all this business stuff and life hacks and literally, I think that's when things die though, right? Mm. Like, isn't that what they say? Like, once your mom's on there, no one's on there anymore.
I've been really onto YouTube Shorts, trying to sort of get onto the newer.
Yeah, that's a good one,
too. I mean, it's possible. I think TikTok's going to be around for ages, but have you seen the account, The Retirement House?
No, what is that?
Oh my God. So you know how there's content houses in LA of like YouTubers?
Of course, and, TikTok houses.
Yeah, all those.
Yeah.
So they have one, but it's like old people. And it's like six or seven old people, like they're seniors. Like, I don't know, they must be 70, 80, like I'm not even kidding, freaking grandparents. And it's called The Retirement House, like a content house, but it's so funny.
And they're on TikTok?
Yeah, they're all over TikTok, all over Instagram. They're big. It's so funny. I don't know who is managing their content for them, but whoever thought of that, like, it's like the Golden Girls reality TV show, TikTok version.
By the way, that's my favorite show still to this day. That's how like old I'm making
it. They brought it to TikTok.
That to me is freaking hilarious.
It's so funny.
Oh my God. See, I'm so glad I came on this podcast. I just learned that. And I learned about Later, which I had no idea what that is.
Either. Oh, I'll show you. That's a good one. Later. Okay. I really like Later. Also, apparently we'll talk about tips and tricks after, but, okay. Your podcast though, let's go back to the guests you've had on because there's been some crazy guests. The Amanda Knox episode. That was so cool.
That was amazing. I love that one. That was one of my favorites actually. That was to me, one of the most interesting podcasts I've ever done and most interesting conversation. You know what's amazing about this business is you get to speak with people and have like a real conversation with people that like you would never otherwise have the chance or opportunity to have spoken with, right?
For like, that long.
For that long. Like yeah. She's a perfect example. I mean, I remember like watching her trial and her whole story on TV and like just being totally fascinated and enthralled with her. Yeah. And then like cut to what, 12 years later, I'm like now she's sitting in my kitchen and with her kid and her husband and like I'm talking to her for hours. I mean, it's just like, it's so surreal when you think about it. That was so interesting. And she was so nice. And what's so interesting again to me is that you never know what you don't know, right? Like here's a girl whose life was totally ruined, so to speak. And she can't even make money to even like, to like survive now, you know, because of a whole litany of events that transpired that wasn't even her fault. You know, it's really sad actually.
Yeah. The story was crazy. I was infatuated too. I'll never forget
everybody,
it.
Everybody. Yeah.
It was insane.
She's infamous. Literally. There's no one who does not, unless you're like just,
I mean, living under a rock.
Yeah. Or yeah. 13. Yeah. Right. Like everyone knows who she is. Mm. Right. And still to this day, people still think that she's guilty.
Yeah.
People are like, most people when she was on, they're like, well, is she innocent or guilty? I'm like, well, she was exonerated, but no one even like,
no one knows about the ending. They just know about
they just say, oh, Foxy Noxy. Cause that's what her name was. Right. So
yeah.
So crazy to me.
I love what you said about how podcasts really give you this opportunity to have deep conversations with people, because even if you know someone, like I know you, you're friends with my dad, we've sat for coffee, but he loves you. I mean, like you're part of the family at this point.
Great. Thank you.
Look at you on the cover of the journal here.
I know. I love it.
We would just never have this kind of opportunity to sit and be able to have an uninterrupted, you know, hour plus. So I sometimes go 2 hour plus conversations with these people. That's something that you usually do just with close friends.
Yeah.
You know, even strangers that you're meeting. So it's such a unique opportunity and it's really cool, especially when you do, you know, go bold and start asking all of these incredible humans to come on your show. You get such an opportunity.
I think there's a couple of things that I could not agree with you more. And that is why actually I really love doing my podcast and why I'm so happy that I did it, because I'm naturally a very curious person. I love, I'm very like interested in everybody's life, to the minutia of what it is. And you get in this opportunity, and if you're coming from an authentic, real place, people share a lot of information that they otherwise maybe wouldn't, right? It's like how you ask it, like why you're doing it. And I genuinely am curious and want to know. And so you can build real connections with people. And I have to tell you, like some of the people that I've come on my podcast, I've become like quite close with, like people I would otherwise never even thought of or think that I would become good friends with or make a connection with. It's always those people that I really ended up clicking with. I had this guy on.
Yeah, give me some examples.
So like last week or a couple weeks ago, this guy came on my podcast. Actually, his name is Tori Roberts.
Okay.
He's a very well-known pastor. He has one of the, what if not the biggest, most influential congregations. And
where in LA?
Yeah. Well, everywhere. So they had a church, they have a place here, and pre-COVID, they were packing like thousands of people in their church. And then they have live streaming. He's like a Joel Osteen, right?
Got it.
His wife is Sarah Jake Roberts, who's very popular. And her father is this guy named T.D. Jakes, who's probably the most popular, famous, well-known pastor in our country.
What denomination are they? Do you know?
I don't know. I think Christian. I'm not sure. But what makes them different is him and his wife, because they do it together, is it's faith-based, but it's not, you can be of any denomination. Mm. And they talk a lot about leadership and about balance and all sorts of different
they
relationships.
They kind of make it cultural, like Judaism.
It's more cultural.
Yeah.
And he has a book out called Balance. Anyway, so he came on the podcast. Someone who I work with was like, you have to have him on. I had his wife on a year ago when her book came out.
Oh, cool.
And she was great. And she's very popular. I mean, like, she like crushes. They both have like millions of people on YouTube, thousands of people streaming them. But I was like, you know, I'm Jewish. So I'm like, I don't know how much I'm going to have in common with this guy. We like totally hit it off. That podcast went for hours and hours.
I love that.
And like, we're like, became like friends, you know what I mean? And it was like one of those things where you don't know what you don't know. And sometimes the more different you are, the more you connect, because if you're coming from a place of, goodness and curiosity. Mm. And genuine wanting to know, and they do too, you really can make a really good connection. And so that's happened a lot. That's one guy.
I love that. That's like the best collateral damage of podcasts, isn't it?
100%. Nikki Glaser was another one. She's a comedian.
Yeah,
I love her.
That was a great episode. I mean, she's hilarious.
She's hilarious. I'm a huge comedy fan anyway. I love comics. So she was great. And that was another one.
You've also had Chelsea Handler on, right?
I did. I love her too. She was great too. She was another really good one. My phone is ringing. I'm sorry. I've had a lot. I love the comics, so I always try to get, you know, comics on there. I'm trying to get Bill Burr, but it's been like
so
a nightmare.
Yeah.
It's not so easy.
I mean, coordinating with comics can be also very difficult, so.
It can be, 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love what you said, though, about, you know, just if you go in there with real curiosity and if you're actually interested about a lot of this stuff, you know, you're coming in there because you want to learn more, you want to. And it comes off. You can see it in different shows when someone is more genuinely curious, or if they're just reading off of a paper,
a set
of questions, which is just such a miserable experience.
It's a miserable experience. I agree. I like to always have like places I want to, like things I want to ask them. So I also want to look like I've prepared, because I think I don't love personally for me when someone doesn't prepare at all, and I feel,
and
I can feel it. And it's like awkward. And like, they're like reading a bio that was from like from LinkedIn 20 years ago. And so that to me is like, it's not, I don't want to do that, you know, do that to other people. Cause I wouldn't want that done. I don't like the way it's done to me. But at the same time, you want to also have like freedom to let the conversation go where it goes naturally as well, right?
Yeah.
So
some of those tangents are where the most interesting portions of podcasts come from. So you have to find the balance. You have to naturally let them go there, but you have to also control the topics and make sure that you get things covered that you actually are really interested in, especially about that person.
Absolutely. What also happens, I find sometimes, the bigger the guest, sometimes it's not the worst the podcast, to be honest, because
interesting,
they're very nervous and they're very guarded as to what they're going to say that's recorded versus off. So I could have the greatest conversation with them offline or before the podcast or after the podcast, but on the podcast, they're giving me very cookie cutter answers. And then that's not very fun either, right?
God, it's so annoying when you have somebody and you instantly see their shoulders tense up and they're about to just read off some prepared.
Right. They have their landing spots where they know they're going to like land and what they are comfortable saying. And even if you have all the best intentions and you're super curious, they're so prepped and so you could, like, they're so seasoned in this type of thing where they're not going to like give you anything because they're scared of cancel culture, which is a massive thing right now.
It is very crazy.
Right? Ugh, God, I can't stand it.
The woke drive me bananas. Bananas. It's so frustrating, especially like in the media. So that's actually something I wanted to ask you. It kind of ties into what was happening during COVID because you're such a health proponent. I mean, this is like your whole thing is, you know, helping people get healthy and stay fit.
Right.
Were you so frustrated that wasn't a major part of the conversation when it came to COVID?
Yeah. I mean, listen, It's fine. I was just talking about this yesterday. Obesity is people who are severely overweight are the people that are affected the most by COVID.
Literally.
And yet when you say that out loud, for whatever reason, it's offensive to people. Mm. To me, I don't understand that. I don't understand how that the two are connected. You're pushing all these other vaccines. I get it. But yet at the same time, like also vitamin D was very, very helpful, right? And it was like, it was not okay to talk about things that are free or people can buy themselves or help themselves with or everyday exercise and eating better. Because at the end of the day, that is such a fundamental part of this whole thing. But I think what really happened and it's still here, obviously, is the pendulum has now swung so far. And for whatever reason, during COVID, it's made people so sensitive, and you have to be so PC with everything you do and you say that people's careers and lives get ruined if they don't. Mm. And it's a real problem because there's no such thing now as freedom of speech. There's no such thing of having your own opinion. Whatever happened to like having your own opinion and like you having one way of looking at things and me having another way of looking at things, but yet we can still dialogue and have a conversation. For whatever reason, that's now like out the table. Unless I agree with one particular way of thinking, then I'm demonized, right?
Yeah, but do you feel like there is a big pushback against that right now? Because I'm feeling this big sort of wave of people just sick of it, that are just literally sick of this this intensity that you have to be perfect and say the exact perfect thing.
I just think maybe that's the crowd that you're going with. I think,
but as a whole, it's still
a problem. Think me too. Like, I think my general group of friends or the people that I typically get along with or like have like, you know, where we can like we can have these conversations 100%. But don't kid yourself. I think it's very, very prevalent and prominent, and it's there still. And I really don't know. I don't really even know when it will happen eventually. But when it's going to get back to a place of balance in that way.
The bubble has to burst at some point.
I don't know. I mean, people are becoming more and more, you know, sensitive with everything. Like every post is, you know, you are enough. And this is, I'm enough. If I see that one, I'm enough. I'm like, well, are you enough? I mean, is that
okay? I've actually heard you talk about this and I thought it was so fascinating. This idea of that you hate, this work balance situation that people are trying to put out there, right? Like work-life balance, yes. And that entrepreneurs need to have this healthy, like dual life thing,
but bullshit. Just not realistic. True. It's utter nonsense. Okay, how many people have you ever met who are extraordinarily successful in building a business, or just in building a business, and they worked from 9 to 5? It doesn't happen.
Yeah,
I mean, there's no such thing. I think that is such a load of crap. First of all, I think that like you can have balance eventually,
right?
But in certain stages of life, there's no such thing, right? There's like stages that have to happen, like things that have to happen, especially when you're an entrepreneur and when you are, it's you eat what you kill, right? What I eat what I kill. No one's handing me shit. So whatever I do is what I do. I don't have a rich dad or a mom that's giving me or gave me anything. So I'm constantly out there all the time with that mentality. I had to be, right? Mm. And I think once you hit a place of somewhat successful, whatever that means, maybe then you can like kind of, you can integrate other things and you can find some balance.
And delegate a bit more.
If you can, but sometimes it's even harder, problem, right? Like it's hard. But what I'm saying is, I don't think their life isn't about balance. And also I should say, if you're super passionate about something and you're super like into something and obsessed with something and you kind of have to be successful, then where's the balance? You're going to hate this word because it's so overused, but you're going to lean into, you know, what you really like to do and that like drives you, right? And so where's that balance?
I think it also gives this weird false level, like expectation from kids when they're growing up that, you know, if they want to start and have this super successful business, like they can do it and have a balance and, you know, and take care of their mental health and physical health and everything and Absolutely. Help their family all at the same time. And then when they can't do that, they feel like a failure as opposed to, well, maybe that's just not really feasible.
Yeah. This is what I say to that. 100%. But what you can do to create some semblance of normalcy or health or healthiness, because you got to prioritize things and make things non-negotiables. That's how I survive and thrive, right?
Yeah, never miss a Monday.
Right, never miss a Monday. Yes. Exactly. I think it's extremely important to have these non-negotiables and have certain things built into your day-to-day rituals and routines to keep you on point. Mm. And then once you get those things knocked out, you feel much more balanced, right? You may not have balance, but you can feel more balanced by doing these things in your world and in your day-to-day life that make you feel good.
Mm. So working out
for me and for everybody, it should be working out Absolutely. Because of the endorphins it releases. And also you're doing something for yourself that's really good for you. It gives you confidence. Mm. It makes you feel mentally strong. As you feel more physically strong, you feel more mentally strong. Works both ways. It's twofold. To me, that's a non-negotiable. Non-negotiable.
Absolutely.
Right? And you have to have those things in your life. And it's about habits. And it's about like making those things a priority. Mm. If you have time to do your hair for 30 minutes in the morning. You have time to exercise for 30 minutes.
Absolutely.
Right? What is your priority? Is your priority curly, nice, shiny hair? Mine's not. That's why my hair looks like shit half the time. Right? More than half, like 99% of the time.
I can relate. This right? is all, I mean, if I took this bun out, oh no.
Yeah. Well, listen, that's how my hair is typically every day. You just caught me on a day where I washed my hair yesterday, like last night. So it looks a little bit more fresh.
But I know what you mean. It is priorities, right? You got to sacrifice some area. Like you just can't 100%.
It's priorities. And like what I do is I sacrifice looking like a girl most of the day, right? Because I'm wearing my sweaty gym clothes most of the day with a sweaty ponytail. And I will shower at night because I don't want to take that 30 minutes or 45 minutes right. that I have to do to put makeup on and dress nice. I'd rather like use that towards exercise because that will like at the end of the day, it will benefit me way more.
Exercise business. I mean, you run quite a few businesses. So it's, you know, there's I agree. And I do feel like having those daily habits are really important.
Yeah.
I think any sort of training, any sort of physical activity, you know, you might not love weightlifting, but you might really like yoga or you might really like Pilates, whatever it is, find your thing that you actually right. enjoy, make right. it a habit and it will become something that you just can't live without. And I agree. It's so important, but I was really disappointed that this didn't become like a massive movement during COVID. I think that we're seeing a health push, you know, from some people, but I thought it was going to be like game changing.
Oh, I don't agree with, I disagree. I think people started to take their health much more seriously and made it more of a priority in some pockets of society.
Yeah, in some pockets. But like overall,
it
didn't hit the mass that I wanted it
to. Well, it didn't. I think it did because that's when every single virtual fitness platform blew up. Look at Peloton.
All the apps,
Like Peloton became like worth like what, $50 billion?
Yeah, Peloton you know, killed like it.
All these big connected fitness businesses crushed it. Beachbody, everybody. Also, everybody and their dog were doing virtual classes online. Every instructor, everyone. So I think people did adapt a little bit to that and they did kind of integrate that into their lives. The question is, and I don't know the answer to this, is it sustainable? Are they still doing it now? Will they be doing it in a year from now? I don't know. I think probably it's on an uptick right now because once you start doing something long enough, it becomes so part of your like
habitual
that you'll do it. I think some pockets of the world are not doing it, but I actually thought that people did actually incorporate that much more than I thought. I think you had two groups. You had some people who basically ate bonbons and watched Netflix all day and like gained a lot of weight and didn't take care of themselves and really had a decline in their mental health. And I think there was another group of people that took this opportunity to reassess their life and take this opportunity to actually take care of themselves and build on healthy habits. And they're probably, I would say, most of those people are probably still thriving and doing things that they otherwise wouldn't have done if COVID never happened.
Pre-COVID.
Yeah.
So you're originally from Winnipeg. How have you been feeling about how Canada has dealt with the entire pandemic? Because that shit has been wild to watch.
Oh, my God. Well, I would say that I still have not seen my mom.
Wow.
And it's been 2.5 years.
And she's in Winnipeg.
She's in Winnipeg. My sister lives in Montreal.
I knew that, actually.
Yeah. I lived in Toronto. We're all in different places. I lived in Winnipeg. I moved to Toronto.
We're going to get to Toronto because that Raptors story is cool.
Oh, yeah. And I haven't seen my mom. My mom is like petrified she's still scared of COVID 2.5 years later. But Canada was crazy. I mean, then the trucker situation.
Yeah, the trucker thing was nuts. But I don't know if it was the same in all of the provinces, but I know in Montreal specifically, it was psycho at one point when they had the curfews and cops were coming around and checking the license plates of the cars.
Yeah, it's crazy.
To make sure that they were registered to a home within like a few hundred feet.
Insane,
or whatever.
Insane, right?
What the fuck? That's
insane.
Crazy.
Insane.
That's crazy. So no one could borrow your car. You can't have your car anywhere other than like at your house. Like that is next level.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, crazy. I mean, my mom, that's why I think it did such a number on you mentally. You know, my mom is 78 years old. God bless her. And, you know, it's been a real thing, a real challenge. I've been trying to get her here. Nothing I do. She's so petrified of going on a plane.
Oh.
Because of it. And even though I think the news doesn't help anybody, right?
Yeah, that's for sure. Especially if you're watching it. I haven't watched news in a decade.
Well, you haven't? Okay. Well,
I hate the news.
Well, that's good because it does a number on your psyche. Although look what's happening in the Ukraine. Like I think our whole world is fucked up right now.
Yeah.
Look at Ukraine. Look at this. Like everything. Now, by the way, supposedly our numbers in COVID is going way up again now.
Yeah. I just don't even at this point, I don't give a shit. Like I had COVID already, had the Omicron, went right through it. You know, it wasn't the greatest experience of my life, but for the mental headache that it caused for years.
Oh my God.
I mean, I would go through that again, you know?
I know. I mean, I got it too. I did lose my sense of taste and smell.
Did you not taste coffee or whatever?
I tasted
afterwards?
Nothing.
Yeah.
For months.
Because my friend Nicole, she also lost it, but coffee lingered forever. Like she couldn't smell or taste coffee for months after. Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it was nothing. And then all of a sudden one day I got it back. But what I find so interesting.
Wait, all of it, you just got it back one day?
Yeah.
It didn't ease in?
No.
That's so
just
weird.
One day I didn't have it and one day I did.
That must have been the weirdest sensation. How did you feel? What did you try first that you realized you could taste?
I don't even remember. It was like a blur. But I will tell you one thing that was so interesting.
So crazy.
Because I couldn't taste food. I would just eat incessantly. I gained 7 pounds because I'm just eating.
Wow.
You would think everyone was like, oh, you must be losing so much weight because you can't taste
that's
anything.
That's what I would have thought.
Because you're not eating. Okay, why would you eat? I'm like, but it was the opposite. I was like, well, I just kept on eating just mindlessly. It was crazy, actually. I don't know why. It was so weird how that happened. It just one day, it just boom.
That must have been such an interesting. I wish you remembered what food it was because I'm trying to imagine you're expecting to not taste anything and then you do.
I know, so weird.
Such a crazy experience.
I was doing these hot peppers. I couldn't taste a thing.
Oh, were you trying to see how hot
you
could go?
So you know what I was doing? You know what kind of
the ghost pepper challenge?
Yeah, I did that. I couldn't taste it. I was like, nom, 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 nom. And then what I did was. I went to Whole Foods and I got all these essential oils to smell because they said that was going to help.
Oh.
And so I would sniff so hard in my nose. I was like, I look like a crazy person.
Any
like,
specific smells that they suggested, like a lavender or something?
Lavender, eucalyptus. I did a bunch of them. I think that may have helped a bit, actually, getting it back. Yeah. So that's a good tip for you out there if you do have
that is a good tip.
No sense of taste
go
or smell.
Go to Whole Foods and sniff away, people.
Or go anywhere. Go to freaking, like, go to the 99 cent store.
Just don't go to Erewhon, please. Oh, no, Save yourself the cost.
By the way, out of principle alone, I refuse to shop there. Out of principle
I've
alone.
I've never actually been to one. Not. It's not really a principle thing. I use Instacart.
You do?
Yeah.
I don't.
And we use Sprouts. That's what's, you know, it's the best one.
See, I get such joy. Everyone laughs at me. Like,
I know,
literally.
Going to the grocery store.
I love it. I love
get
Costco.
Joy too, but I have no freaking time. I wish I could go to the grocery. Like, I'm feeding
prioritize.
A hungry male. You know, it's like he eats nonstop. Tova's here. The dogs need snacks.
Oh,
you know,
my gosh.
Mean?
You need to have Instacart then.
Yeah.
I refuse to use that too. I can't get into the 20. Honestly, I belong in the in circa 1998 to 2002.
Stay there for a bit.
Yeah. I don't belong in today's time. I don't want to use Instacart. I want to shop myself and buy my own fruits and vegetables. I don't want to rely on some Yahoo I don't know.
What's your favorite grocery store? Do you like a Trader Joe's?
I love Costco, I said. I love it. I love just to go up and down the aisles.
Yeah,
to
but
me,
you can't go to,
like,
Costco every time.
I know, but super soothing to my mental health. I also love...
I do love the Costco aisles. Something is very soothing about them.
I love Costco.
It's quite a satisfactory place to be in.
I think so.
Yeah.
It's my happy place. I also like... I guess I do like Whole Foods, depending on which Whole Foods. Some are much better than others.
Mm.
So... I do like Whole Foods, and I do like Sprouts.
I get overwhelmed with Whole Foods choices. It's a little too big. Sprouts, I feel like, has less options, which I prefer.
Also, I also like Sprouts. Like, some of the stuff there is better, I think.
Yeah.
Depending on which one. It's all about location, right? So, like, some of them are, like, kind of more grimy and, like,
yeah, the one near
dirty.
Us is really, I love it. The Sprouts in Culver City is great.
Oh, that is a good one. I don't ever go to that one, but I've been there maybe one time a long time ago.
It's, you know, it's so funny. These are like our rituals, but I just, like, this is something that I just can't prioritize. You know, we have to think of, like, all the different things that I have
to
do.
That's a priority.
And I wish I could, but how is that a priority of yours? You have so much to do.
I'll tell you, because food is a huge priority for me. Like, eating healthy, like, what I consume daily is extremely important to me.
Your consumption.
I love food, and I want to be eating things that, like, I'm very particular, number one. And because I'm so particular, I want to make sure that, like, the stuff I'm getting, I'm picking it. I don't want somebody who I don't know picking my stuff. Because the 99% of the food I eat is fresh. It's like fruits, vegetables, meat, fish, chicken.
What's your breakfast every day? It's the grapefruit.
Oh, grapefruit.
Right?
Yeah. Look at you. And eggs. However, I've stopped that for a couple weeks.
Ooh, have you switched it up?
Yeah.
Wow. You were doing that for years.
25
no?
years.
That's
25
crazy.
Years. And I found out just recently, I do a blood test, that I'm severely allergic to eggs.
You're severely allergic to
eggs? Severely. Like, off the charts.
But how severely? You've been eating them.
So, like, supposedly, like, my number should be like 100 if I'm allergic. My number is like 2,000.
100 if you're allergic to... Oh, what?
Like, severely. It could be, like, really screwing with my immune
but
system.
But not deadly, obviously, because you would have not survived this.
Well, I think what's happened, to be honest, is I've become allergic because of the amount I've consumed over the last 25 years. Your body, like, you can actually become
allergic. Oh, I've heard about that.
To things. So I used to eat asparagus every day, and I became allergic. You become, like, your body, like, starts to, like,
yeah,
I don't know, not turn it down. What's the word?
No, we took a test on this when I was younger, and
really?
It said some shit about me being allergic to avocados, and I used to eat them, like, nonstop.
Yeah, so you need to take a break.
Yeah.
So I'm taking a break.
That was a sad time.
Very sad. I'm having a really hard time, actually, with it.
How long are you breaking for?
I don't know. The guy told me 6 months.
Oh, wow.
But I'm going to try for 3 weeks and see if that makes a difference. Meanwhile, can I tell you something? Ever since I haven't eaten eggs.
Self-reduce that. Yeah,
I'm actually, like, I've broken out in hives. I have, like, a rash on my neck. I actually don't necessarily understand how this whole thing works, but.
I mean, maybe that's your body purging. Is that possible? Like, detoxing or something?
No. Maybe or maybe not.
Oh, maybe you just, your body needs eggs.
Maybe.
Well, you had Max Lukavir on your podcast. He's a big proponent
of
eggs.
Yeah, I love him.
He loves them.
I love them too, you know? Like, but yes, I mean, like, listen, eggs are great for your brain health, number one. Mm-hmm. It's just like you have, like, leucine and everything else I mean, it's just great. It's a great, clean protein. Mm-hmm. And for me not to have that in the morning is like torture.
It's one of my main proteins because I'm a pescatarian and I don't love eating, like, an obscene amount of fish. Mm. So I eat a lot of egg.
Yeah.
But
you gotta be careful.
Yeah.
What do you eat? What do you eat?
Like 2 eggs a day.
Is that what you eat for breakfast?
Yeah, usually. It depends. I vary. Sometimes I have like a granola bowl with fruit and yogurt and like flaxseed, chia seed, and it's like a whole melange.
Very melange. That's such a, ooh, look at you.
It's a fancy melange.
Oh, it's a very fancy word, melange. Yeah. So yeah, I think right now I'm eating oatmeal, which doesn't feel good.
Yeah. Like I don't love eating oatmeal for breakfast either. I don't mind it as a snack later in the day, but I don't like it in the morning. That's weird about it. It's very heavy, sticky, and just
who eats it in the afternoon? I don't know. Like, does anyone really eat that in the afternoon?
Yeah. I like oatmeal as an afternoon snack. It's nice sometimes.
Really?
Yeah. It's like a nice little afternoon snack. I think it's good.
Wow, maybe I can try that out. Yeah. I don't know.
Or a pre-workout snack. Like I'm going to eat it like an hour before. That's usually also pretty good.
Oh, so I work out in the morning. That's the thing.
Oh, my workout schedule is so varied. But yeah, oatmeal is good. But okay, I want to talk about your life a bit. I want us to go back to Toronto because you worked for the Raptors, and I'm a very big sports fan. Not that I actually care about Toronto particularly, but I just think that's really cool, and I'd love to know what you did for them.
Hilarious.
And was that the first gig that you got after the Much Music
situation?
Yes.
Yes.
I was about to say debacle, but it really wasn't a debacle. It was actually fantastic. I mean, well, it was like
quite a moment in time. It was a moment in time. That's a great way of putting it. Yeah, that was my first job out of school, actually. And again, like, it was a new franchise in Toronto. Like, the NBA was never in Canada. Right. That was the first year.
Oh, that's when they brought them there. Oh, yeah. You worked for them their first year? Mm-hmm. That's really cool.
It was really cool. It was a really hard job to get. And I, like, basically, like, annoyed the crap out of this one guy and would not leave him alone. And I got the job. And,
what was the job?
So the job was initially to do some form of sales. And it was really interesting because initially they didn't want to hire me. The people were really mean to me because
why?
Because all the other people came from other sports teams and they were like, it was they had a huge sports background and they were much older. I was like the youngest one in the group, and they just like, what does she know? How is she going to do any sales? Meanwhile, like I like
killed it.
But yeah, every week we had like these quotas and I like crushed every week. And
hell
then I'm like,
yeah.
And then they hated me. It was like such a terrible thing. It was like back in like Mean Girls, but it wasn't Mean Girls. It was like mean everybody.
Was it all guys?
It was mostly guys and then two other girls, but the girls were like super like intense and hardcore.
Sounds like a lovely work environment.
Yeah, it was lovely. But then
sounds
they moved
like a beautifully safe space.
It was a safe space. But then they moved me around and then it kind of like I became more into the corporate marketing and suites. And then I actually ended up like thriving there, even though I was like such a baby when I started. But then I went back to school.
What was the suite? What was that?
Corporate suite. So you're selling like these big corporate boxes.
Interesting.
So, yeah. So like it was.
Oh, like the actual box, like the seats where you go sit, like the big box.
Yes.
Got it.
Yes.
Got
and
it.
I was doing marketing for them as well. But it was like, it was a very coveted job back then. Mm. I mean, by the way, I shouldn't even say back then, working for a sports team in general is actually a coveted job because anybody a lot of people who just love sports, they naturally just think, I want to work for a sports team, right? So that's basically what happened, why most of the people work there. I was just more like, I want to work for a sports team because I want to. I was, and so therefore it was not the same. That's why they probably didn't love me. But, I ended up, like I said, thriving. When I went back to school, they held the job for me, thinking that I was going to go back to the job there. But then when I was in school...
Oh, they held the job for you while you were at school?
Yeah. Well, they said I'll always have a job there.
You
so
went
like,
back for your MBA, right?
Yeah.
That was what, year long?
2 years. Two, okay. Yeah. And then, it was like 18 months, actually. Okay. Like, more like 2 years, but I condensed a little bit of it. But then I got a job offer to go to BMG, which was a record label.
Right.
And then I kind of like pivoted into the music business.
Right.
Yeah.
What did you study undergrad?
Psychology.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. And that's why you went to Toronto, because you went to school there?
No, I actually got my undergrad in Winnipeg.
Oh, okay.
And then it was a 4-year I did in 3 years back home. And then I really wanted to get the hell out of Winnipeg. Mm-hmm. I like sped that. And then I moved to Toronto.
And then worked for the Raptors.
Yes. But I moved to Toronto for that other thing. That thing where people can watch the TED Talk to find out.
Oh, yeah. For that. Oh, yeah. Okay. Oh, that's why you originally moved to Toronto?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought that all, for some reason I didn't connect the dots and thought that all went down to Winnipeg.
No.
But I mean, obviously that wouldn't go down in Winnipeg.
Right, exactly. But, you know, yeah.
It would be great if it did though, wouldn't it?
It would have been great. Yeah, exactly.
Really would have added a little touch to that story.
Absolutely. And then I worked for BMG and I ended up in LA going to a record label. So
BMG is record label, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, BMG is the umbrella company. So BMG is like the record company.
And then you went
record
to
label.
Sony.
Well, yeah. So okay. Under BMG, you have all these other, like BMG is like the distributor, but still a label. You have like Britney Spears on. I worked on Britney Spears. I worked on Usher. I worked on Matchbox 20. I worked on Santana. I worked on Whitney Houston. I worked on because there's all these subsidiary labels.
Those are the clients that you worked on for music.
Not clients. There's more like artists.
That you worked on for music. Yeah. But then you also worked with a lot of those same people training them, right?
Yeah, but that was just like, again, like a totally like 180.
Yeah.
Was that like 180? It was just like
1360.
Yeah, 180. Whatever. Yeah, like that's a whole different thing, right? I was working for in the music business as someone who was like launching these albums. Mm. And then when I like pivoted and like made a total change in career. I went back, but in a whole different way. Yeah.
It's really cool how you did all of that. I mean, people should also watch more of your talks because you talk about it all the time. We don't have to go through the whole story now, but it is, I mean, it's sick how you've done
Thank
all
you
that.
Thank you for not making me do the
no,
whole thing.
Oh my God. I hate doing that. That's like, that's the first thing I look at is what does someone talk about a ton?
Yeah.
We're going to stay away from that.
Because people ask me all the time.
So talk to us about your training business.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
I want to get into
it. Or how did you get into it?
Yeah. I want to actually just discuss it, you know, as opposed to like the whole storyline, but it is really cool. And I think it's, you know, a lot of what you've done really does stem back to this whole be bold idea where you're just leaping into ideas. Like you want to do something, you go and you freaking do it.
Yep.
But what was something during that time that you didn't go after that you actually really wanted to go after?
Oh my gosh. It's a great question. A lot of things.
What was something that stood out to you that you wish?
At what stage of life?
Like during that time when you're in LA, making that switch, music industry, training.
You know what? The Biggest Loser.
Oh my God. Oh, sorry. Yeah. I just got so excited. I used to watch that show like crazy.
Yes.
Did you want to go and be a trainer on the show?
Yeah. And I didn't do it. And then I didn't.
Wait, they offered it to you?
No. What happened was I was moving back to Canada. I was getting married again for not married again. I got married again now. I got married. My first husband was from Toronto.
Toronto.
I moved back to Toronto. I never did that whole process. And it was something I really wanted to do.
Oh.
So interestingly enough, full circle again.
So you didn't do
life.
The auditions or any like that stuff, but you would have got it.
I don't know. I mean, it's like a very, you know, it's funny. It doesn't matter if I'm a great trainer. I could be a great trainer, I can know the right people, but they're going for a very specific thing. It's more of a casting job than it is a training job, really. Like they're looking for a very particular thing, right? I don't think I pursued it as I should have. And so I went back to Toronto. This is interesting though. When I moved back to LA from Toronto, because I moved back, I was bi-coastal for a bit, but when I moved back, the guys who created Biggest Loser were creating this new weight loss show called Shedding for the Wedding.
Okay.
And which was a weight loss show that was going to be a spinoff of like the Biggest Loser, but for people who were getting married, they wanted to lose. It was like a couple's thing. Like the couple whoever lost the most weight won their dream wedding.
Oh.
And so I ended up getting the job as a trainer on that weight loss show.
Cool.
Even though I didn't get the other one, and they would have said I would have gotten that. They're like, if you would have came for that one, we would have given it to you. But Jillian Michaels got it instead of me, I guess. But wow. And she did pretty good.
I mean, she did pretty good for herself.
She did pretty good for herself. So you're welcome, Jillian.
Yeah.
You know? But so then I got this other show that turned out to be a total loser show, unfortunately. But it was on the CW.
What, the Shedding for the Wedding thing?
It was a different
pick up.
No, we got it. We got one season, and you know, today it would have been great ratings, but compared to The Big Loser back then, it was not great. And they didn't give us another season. But the show wasn't as focused on the fitness part, like The Biggest Loser. Mm. It was really divided between planning your wedding stuff and planning the fitness stuff. And the other thing, which was very interesting, was, you know, it's the people that were going after the show, like the couples, they weren't morbidly obese. They were like, you know, very overweight, but they weren't morbidly obese.
Oh, I actually like that.
So this is what the interesting thing is. On The Biggest Loser, when you're morbidly obese and you have like 200 pounds to lose, it's much easier.
Yeah, you're losing larger numbers.
Right.
7 pounds of water weight, you know.
And you can just walk from here to the other side of the room when you're losing weight, right? Yeah. But it's much harder to really hone and like get down. When you have a lot of weight to lose, it's always easy to lose the first bit and then you really get stuck. That's plateauing is very normal. Happens to everybody. Yeah. It's part of life. You plateau in everything in life. You plateau in your career. You plateau in your relationships. People plateau. It's what happens, right? It's about working through those plateaus. It's about like sticking with it long enough, not giving up, being relentless, and just keep on doing it day in, day out, day in, day out. And then the plateaus, you know, decimate. But the point is that really what happened is that the show was kind of, it was, people didn't know if it was a weight loss show, if it was like a wedding show. It was kind of confusing, but people did lose a lot of weight. Funnily enough, most of the people that I worked with, because we have teams of people, to this day, I still keep in touch with some of them.
Oh, no way.
And they still kept their weight off.
Hell to the yes. Yes,
versus like The Biggest Loser.
Where they always gain it back.
And then some. They gain more weight back.
I remember when there was a lot of backlash against The Biggest Loser because of that, and that it kept happening and they kept seeing those results just, boomeranging right back. Like, it was really bad.
Yeah.
Boomeranging? How did
I think it's boomerang.
Why does that word sound so weird right now?
I don't know.
Boomeranging. Yeah. But it was so sad to see, you know, these people would lose so much weight. But, you know, when you're losing weight that quickly, it's so unsustainable.
Well, it's very unsustainable. Well, also, it's unsustainable if you're doing things that are super drastic.
Yeah.
That's what's unsustainable, right? Like, because so no one's going to work out. Well, the problem is here you are in an environment that's very unlike reality, right? Because you are working out 6 hours a day.
Mm.
You have trainers that are pushing you for that long.
You have cameras on you,
right?
Holding you accountable.
You have nutrition coaches and dietitians who are like making sure you're eating exactly what you should be eating.
Mm.
And you don't have to worry about those things, right? You're not, your diet and nutrition is technically looked at, you know, taken care of for you.
Yeah.
And you're not like living your real day-to-day life. You're not like going about your business, going to work, because you're like basically like in this
bubble
for like 2 months, 3 months. So it's not real life. So of course, naturally, when you go back into the real world, you're going to actually have to go to work and deal with life stresses, and things aren't what they are. So of course you're going to life takes over.
Yeah.
So you have to make things sustainable, and you got to create again, these habits within the real reality of what your life is to be successful, or nobody's going to be successful in that environment. I wouldn't be successful in that environment.
It's interesting that they were planning weddings while they were losing the weight on that show, because I feel like that adds another layer of stress, that if they can learn how to live healthy physical lifestyles while under that kind of stress, That's maybe a better, you know what I mean?
Don't kid yourself. They weren't planning the wedding 100%, but it was a TV show. At the end of the day, this was TV. They had like a wedding planner walk in, being like, if you had your druthers, what kind of flowers would you like? I'll take.
But were they not actually planning their own weddings?
Listen, it's a TV show again. Mm. So, I mean, someone else is planning and doing all for the details. Them. They're going to ask them questions like, do you like white? Do you like black? You know, I mean, just making it, you know? And like, it's a very contrived environment. You know, I what I learned from that entire experience is I don't like doing television. I'm not like a TV person. You think it looks glamorous. You think all these things that you see, you know, third party or on the periphery look so glamorous and cool and sexy. And then when you're actually living it, it sucks. I mean, the hours are totally awful.
Early call times.
Like, I was sitting on set hours and hours and hours waiting for my time to be on, you know? Mm. And then you have a camera on you and then you got like a piece in your ear being like, try to make that person cry or like get some emotion out of them. God. It's like, oh my God, it's like brutal. And then like, it's just a lot of like hurry up and wait, right? Mm. It's not my style. And it also doesn't feel natural for me. You know?
Well, it's completely not on your schedule, like you're saying. It's, yeah. You know, you're running on the studio's clock and it's just not, I mean, it's not efficient. It's also not real. Like when you're sitting on a podcast, you're the one controlling it. It's an actual conversation. There's not really a script here. There's not like something I'm trying to elicit per se. You know what I mean? There's no ulterior motive other than I'm just curious to have a conversation. Whereas when you're on a show, the whole motive is make this very entertaining. We have to get that shot. We need to get this kind of B-roll.
Yeah.
We need to see them. And especially reality shows where they're like telling you, you know, make them cry or get some emotion out of them, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Like that's it's even more of a toxic layer.
Yeah. It's just not reality TV. Is just it's like the antithesis of reality. It's like anything but realistic. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's just crazy. Like who's wearing a full face of makeup? You know?
Oh my God. I always think that, especially in some of those, there's so many freaking reality TV shows where literally they're in bed and they're in a full face of makeup. And I'm thinking to myself, like, are they just horrible with their skincare or what's happening here? Who's allowing them to go into bed with their makeup like that?
Oh, I know. It's unbelievable. It's cut to next scene. So they take off their ball dress and they put on their pajamas and they roll into bed and pretend that they're sleeping. It's like it's like the most contrived nonsense I've ever seen.
Full strip lashes on.
Yes, exactly. And like, you know, lip liner and like a perfect bun with like a piece of hair falling out. By the way, what time is it? I had a call at 2:30, but what time is it?
Oh, we'll have to wrap soon then.
How long has it been?
It's been like an hour or something.
Oh, has it?
Yeah, hour 10.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Go on.
Time goes by when you're on the Shawnee Show.
Yeah, exactly, right?
Okay, so then I guess, all right, two last things before we end
absolutely.
Off. First one is I just would love a story from you because you've worked with so many of the celebrities, training, music, everything, Britney Spears, all the people. Like, has anything stood out to you from that time that you still remember, either as like a hilarious story or just a situation that, you know, keeps coming back to mind?
I'm going to tell you one story that I love, okay? Because this is like very special story, okay?
Okay, great. I love that.
So one of the first people I ever got from when I went back and I decided to become a trainer as opposed to, like, I was a label. For those of you who don't, I used to be a record label trainer, and which meant that I was training different people for getting ready for different, you know, music videos or tour. So I would train a ton of artists. One of the first people they ever gave me was this girl named, her name then was Michael Guyton, who was this like beautiful girl who had a voice of an angel. And they thought that she was going to be like the next Whitney Houston. Like she was young, like 13 years old or 14 years old. And they put a lot of effort and time into her, and she was my first. So her parents probably had to sign off on me because, you know, she was so young. Anyway, I really developed a really nice connection with this girl, and everyone thought that she was the next big thing. And, you know, we worked together, blah, blah, blah. Cut to, you know, we go our separate ways after 2 years, and she ends up getting dropped from that label and going on to another label, went on a Babyface's label, and then another label. And like the music business is just a really nasty business, right? Like it's just awful. And years later, like I'm talking now 20 years later, I am watching the Today Show, eating my breakfast or making breakfast, watching the Today, or having the Today Show in the background. It wasn't like sitting there watching it. And lo and behold, who's in their concert series? Grammy-nominated Mickey Guyton. I'm like, what the hell? So this girl who I knew when she was like a kid, because I don't follow country music,
right?
She decided to leave and go to Nashville and become a country music artist because it was like one failure after another, right? And so she's like, you know what? I'm just going to go to Nashville and try this country thing.
Mm.
Well, it totally hit. She became like a huge success, And she's like up for like 3 or 4 Grammys.
Oh my God.
She sang the national anthem at the Super Bowl this last year.
Oh, you interviewed her.
Yeah.
Yes. This is okay.
Because like years, I haven't seen this girl in like how many years.
Wow.
And after all that time, she like took her, what, 20 years to become an instant success. And, you know, that girl has more talent in her little finger than half of these people do. And, you know, the fact that she was able to, you know, be that resilient and not give up and keep on going and going after her dream. And it's now like, hit. Now she's doing a show. I mean, she's like, she's been on Sesame Street. She's hosted the Ellen show a bunch of times.
Oh, cool.
Like, and now she's doing a TV show for Apple
TV.
Yeah,
they have some
Reese Witherspoon.
Great.
Yeah, it's not out yet. I don't even know if I should be telling you that.
Whoops. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
We don't know. Yeah. Whoopsies.
Exactly. And she's doing songs really with like cool. John Legend now. So I just love that, like that story. That to me was a great story for me. I've had other stories where like some of these people, I'm not going to mention names, are just so brutal. Like I fired them, but not the other way around.
Oh, what a boss move.
Yeah. Cause they're just gross.
I mean, I've interacted with some losers. It's, I mean, yeah, 100%. But no, I prefer, that's the kind of story that I wanted. That was great.
Oh,
that was,
well, glad yeah. that you like it. Shani.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Good.
No, that's there's something so beautiful about watching someone who's persevered through such a ruthless industry, make it out on the
Absolutely.
Other end and really find their place and have people who appreciate them and their talent as much as you do on such a large scale,
yeah.
which is really, really cool.
Absolutely.
It's really
I agree.
Cool.
Yes. It's a really full circle moment. You know, she's still, and by the way, she hasn't even hit her stride yet. Right. Like she's right now, like becoming very known, but like it's every day. I mean, like
just the beginning.
People in the country world, like she's huge or people really know her. And she's breaking through now, but it's funny. This girl, I've liked her from the, you know, I've had a huge affection for her since she was a kid. So
I feel like that's what it would be like for Keanu to see all of the success that you've had, because look at how far you've come since you approached him all those years ago. I mean, that would
Thank
be a
you.
Really surreal experience for him. And you better follow up on that, because that episode
Damn right.
has to happen. Cause I do think that, you know, him seeing everything you've built up till now, that girl who so boldly went and got him to
that's
be in
right.
like the most epic demo tape of all time. I mean, that's really freaking cool.
Thank you. Well, then maybe you could do that same thing you did with that Gary Vee, with the sending the text or the tweet or the DM.
Yes,
and then
yes.
Will you do it?
Yeah. Oh, I'll try and get you Keanu.
Okay.
Oh my God. I'd love to be involved in coordinating that actually.
Good. Okay. Yeah. So I'm going to hold you to it.
Yeah.
Okay?
And I'm building your studio.
100%.
Yes.
We have a lot of things we have.
We're going to have so much fun.
We have a lot of things to do together, right?
Well, we're both hustlers and we like to develop habits.
Totally.
So it all fits in well.
We got lots of tasks.
Okay. You have to run, but I want to ask you one last question. I know you're in the works with a new book. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. So can you give us any sort of information on that, or is it all hush hush?
No. No, my book is coming out in December.
Oh, fantastic.
It's
okay, great.
I'll tell you back. It's going to be called Bigger, Better, Bolder.
Okay. Ooh,
I can tell
my
you.
My dad is going to love that.
Right?
Oh my God.
And it comes out in December, at the end of December. And I'm just me and the publisher and all that are just like finishing the editing and all that stuff.
Okay. Fantastic.
Yep.
Wow. Bold. I don't think my dad ever shut up about that TED Talk. He's like, you got to be bold.
I love that your dad is such a supporter. I love it.
Oh, he's such a supporter.
I
love being surrounded by people who are supportive
me
like that.
Too.
I think it's a great, it adds happiness to me.
I'm telling you, it like builds my affection for your dad that much more, because it's nice when other people are genuinely happy for you.
Mm.
And I think it's like it doesn't happen often enough, right? Like I think a lot of people, there's a lot of Schadenfreude happening, right?
Yeah.
You know what that is?
Mm.
When, do you know what Schadenfreude is?
Jealousy and such.
It's like they find happiness in other people's misery.
Oh, that's the worst.
It's the worst. And it's like people can put on a nice brave face, but behind but inside they're like very envious and jealous. I think there's something to be said for being really happy for other people's success, because it's a abundance mindset versus a scarcity mindset, right? Like just because you're succeeding doesn't take away from potentially my success. Your success it's completely exclusive from what happens with me. But people feel sometimes that if you're successful, then it takes away that opportunity for me.
Yeah.
And that breeds negativity and it breeds a scarcity mindset. And it's an energy that I really don't love. And I feel it when people have it. So with your dad, he's just such a happy, supportive person. It's like you want to be around that, and people should be around that energy.
Absolutely.
Because it just like it blossoms, and that more success comes from that.
God, this is why the ends of podcasts are always the best, because you get these beautiful, just thought-provoking ideas that, you know, I speak about this all the time with my friends, because in LA, especially in the female group, that's right. A big problem.
Yeah.
The scarcity mindset. It's a huge issue. But I completely agree. Like, there is literally no limit to how much we can all succeed together.
Absolutely.
And if anything, I only want to be surrounded with people who are succeeding, because then it's the ambiance of the whole room.
Absolutely. You know what I mean? It levels you up.
Everyone's winning.
Exactly. I want to be around winners anyway, yeah, right? Like, yeah. Why would I want to be around people who are not winning? And like, someone else's win is my win. Like, I'm always so happy when other people in my life are thriving. Like, I just don't understand that type of energy that people want to like put out there.
Yeah.
You know, like some things have been like really like disconcerting a lot of times. I mean, oh God, I have a call right now. It's like, poor woman. It's like the third time this has happened with her too. But you know, where to my face, they're always like rainbows and butterflies. And yet like, behind my back, they're like talking shit, or they're trying to derail me. It's like, fuck off.
Yeah, I hate that. No, yeah. I absolutely hate that. But I get the exact opposite vibe from you. You're so abundant, and I'm so happy to see everything that you've done, and I'm just happy to have you on my show. I mean, hopefully this is the first of many podcast encounters.
Oh, for sure.
We have so much to discuss.
Next time, I mean, listen, I hate to cut you off, but no. We definitely come back.
Yeah, yeah, it's fine. At this point, I mean, I could go on forever, so it's good someone should cut me off at some
good.
Point.
I'm glad.
But okay, show yourself quickly before you go. Give us your handles. You're at
They could just follow me on Instagram at The Real Jen Cohen, and they can also go to jennifercohen.com. they can, yeah, you'll find me. Just Google me, you'll find me.
And there, I mean, there's a lot more to Jennifer that we have not discussed whatsoever.
We can come back.
Yeah So part go two. Check her out. There will definitely be a part two. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you.
I'm very proud. It's a lot of work. Hello, woo!
This is, what is this? The Shawnee Show.
This is the Shawnee Show.
Look Welcome. What she has. Look what she has.
Social
I love
media
it.
Influencer.
I love it.
My dad loves that line.
I know. It's like, it's so funny.
Anything social media influencer and he gets excited.
I know. It's hilarious. Look at that. I love that.
Okay. Hank, go sit down. Oh, Hank is going to be wandering around.
Okay, I'm going to do this. Do you want me to do that one or the first one I did?
I don't know. You pick.
It's you pick.
No, you. Oh.
Whatever you want.
Well, the second one we got this in.
Yeah, but the first one, you are cute.
Okay, first one.
Okay. I mean, hold on. Okay, here we go. Da-na-na-na. Okay, what should I do here? I call you. Oh, wait a second. Hold on.
Oh, tag at Shawnee Show and at Shawnee Suiza.
At Shawnee Suiza.
And then at Shawnee Show.
At Shawnee Show. Okay. At
Shawnee. S-H-A-N-N-I.
All right, I gotcha.
Do you like your Apple Watch?
Not really.
I find them so, like, I have one, but I'm the worst at charging it.
I just think it's like it's super annoying. Okay, I'm going to press this now. Ready?
Yeah. Woo!
Okay, ready? Let's do it. Do it. Okay.
How's your headphone volume? Good?
Good.
Yeah?